I will be bringing to life adventures using the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game, which contains mature themes, cosmic horror, character death, and loss of sanity. Our mystery can be found in the Miskatonic Repository, where people like you and me can write an adventure for others to play. We'd like to thank Sirenscape, whose tools have helped provide the background sounds that you hear. And if you'd like to become a friend of the Playhouse, then please support us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/Miskatonic Playhouse, where you can gain access to exclusive shows and content for as little as £1. And now, let's join the show.
Hello and welcome to the Miskatonic Playhouse. Tonight we will be presenting The Eye of the Beholder, a Call of Cthulhu scenario by J. Harland Baxter. Before we start, let us head around the table and see who we've got playing tonight.
Hello, I'm T.A. Newman, the host of the Miskatonic Playhouse, and you can find me on the usual socials for T.A. Newman or the Miskatonic Playhouse, and I am really excited to be in this game. So, thank you very much for having me.
And I'm John Hedge. I'm the backstage manager of the Miskatonic Playhouse. You can mostly find me, John Hedge, everywhere, but I'm hanging out on Blue Sky right now.
I'm Zoe. I'm an occasional player for the Miskatonic Playhouse. I'm also a writer of Viscount Who Left Me and a GM occasionally.
And I'm Stu, producer of the Miskatonic Playhouse. And without further ado, let us start. The year is 1924. The train you're on is hurtling through the night. Snow is whipping around, battering the windows, but inside the plush carriage, you're warm. The steward is walking past. He's just given you cups of hot chocolate to drink out of. Whatever reason you're making this journey, fate has seen it that you are all sitting around the same table. Have you introduced yourselves? I think it's worth your while giving us an idea of who you are and whether you know the person in front of you.
Why don't I start? Yes, of course, when I sit down at the table, I introduce myself. I am Archibald Scruff Bruce. Please do just call me Scruff, everyone does. And I am an archaeology student, and I have been researching the cult of the Bloody Tongue. And I'm just taking a little bit of time away from that in order to go on a bit of a side quest. And it is an absolute pleasure to make your acquaintance, good sir and madam.
Well, yes, absolutely lovely to meet you. I'm Captain Errol Whitlock. I thought I'd come on this train journey. I've recently been gifted tickets for the Orient Express, you see. So I thought get used to the whole kind of train travelling extravaganza. But bloody good hot chocolate. Madam, you are?
Sir, my name is Herbert Osler, but do call me Herb.
Sorry, it was the floppy hair, I thought, madam, for a moment. Huge apologies, I'm completely embarrassed. Scruff, do tell me I haven't made it an insult.
Happens all the time. Yes, I'm just travelling for the summer.
Fantastic. Well, this will be a fantastic train ride. Are either of you interested in archaeology, the occult, or such things? I'm fascinated by them personally.
Oh. God, no.
No, nothing of the sort, I'm afraid.
Sound terribly dirty and terribly scary. What on earth would you be doing? The cult of the Bloody Tongue, you say? I thought I misheard you the first time.
Fascinating thing. Let me tell you all about it.
But before you can do so, a fourth figure sidles up to your table and sits down in the empty chair. He is a pale man, fairly well built, wearing a long trench coat and a fedora. And he looks at you and he says, "Can you be trusted? Are you trustworthy?"
I'm a captain in His Majesty's forces. If you can't trust me, my good man, I don't know who you can trust.
Well, I think I'm trustworthy. I've I'm a new, brand new doctor, and we are taught we have to swear to the Hippocratic Oath that we're trustworthy. So, absolutely, sir. Everything is confidential.
Well, if you're trustworthy, I'll trust you. My name is Johnny Logmar. I'm a cop. And I am a cop looking for a criminal, and I think the perp that we're looking for is on this train. And he points over to a table, and there, sitting in a very dusty tweed suit, is a small, short, balding, bespectacled man leafing through a leather-bound notebook. Can I have a spot hidden from everybody, please?
Keeper, I've got a 10 under 60, so that's an extreme success.
I've rolled a 60 over 60, so success. Just.
And just about a success for me on a 30 over 35.
Fantastic. So the one thing that you all notice is branded on the front of this leather notebook is a symbol, a strange symbol. Can I just ask, does anybody have Cthulhu Mythos?
We do. I presently, for this character at his age, have 8 Cthulhu Mythos.
But a tiny bit at 10.
One. Oh, I'd like a Cthulhu Mythos then from everybody, please.
Donking failure.
That's failed for me.
This symbol is star-shaped in nature. With a Cthulhu Mythos skill, you feel that you recognize it, and you definitely feel it resonates something. There's something going on with this book. And the man looks up at you, eyes wide open, fervor burning in them. He spots you looking at his book and immediately slams it shut and slips it into his jacket. And he stands up and heads out of the compartment you're in, heading towards what you assume is the baggage compartment down that way. And the detective, Johnny Logmar, looks at you and says, "Yeah, that's the guy I've been following. He's got some shady stuff going on. Look, I think he recognizes who I am. I would appreciate it if you would be willing to, I don't know, do a little bit of tailing, do a bit of digging, find out what he's on the train for, and I'll make it worth your while." And he opens his wallet and you see it's stuffed filled with green dollar bills.
Sir, please. Please, sir, there's absolutely no need for such things. Don't worry about the money. I am in the side of good in these things. I can help you out.
And only if you're offering. I have an expensive train ride coming out of the Orient Express, and I've heard it's frightfully expensive. Your generosity is very welcome.
It would be terribly rude to decline, and as a poor recent graduate, yes, that would be quite helpful.
Well, don't let me detain you then. You can find me in compartment 22. And
22.
The detective stands up and slides off down the corridor.
Well, this is rather unusual, isn't it?
How exciting.
Sorry, 22, right?
22.
22.
Sweet. All right. And which way did he go?
He went off in the other direction towards the sleeping cars. Having been on the train a couple of nights now, you know the basic geometry, or even geography. You are in the dining car, immediately to the front of the train, but there's one more baggage compartment in between the engine and the dining car. And then off the other way towards the rear of the train, you have the sleeping compartments, you have the smoking car, and then you have the third class passenger compartments, which you don't want to go anywhere near. Of course not. No. So,
I guess we're going to the storage.
I guess we're going to the baggage compartment to see what that suspicious chap is up to. Right. Well, I suppose we're all equal in this. Scruff, why don't you go first?
Naturally, all right. Yes. I am. Scruff's never been the most stealthy of human beings, so he's just going to just march straight on through there. Not care in the world, on he goes.
And Herb is looking very, very nervous about this and doesn't really want to be left behind, so he's going to follow rapidly.
Errol has very much put himself in the middle of these cannon fodder. People, friends.
So Scruff, Errol, and then Herb. Thank you. Scruff, you barge through the door to the baggage compartment. immediately the first thing you notice is how dark and dingy it is in here, compared to the nice, bright, opulent wealth of the dining car for first-class passengers. The baggage car is very much not the domain of the passengers. Crates line the walls, tarpaulins cover them, and you see a shadow moving in the background at the other end of the car. He seems to be bathed in a green glow and bending over a crate.
Did he know that we've come in? Does he react?
I think with Scruff's immediate barging in through the door, it'll be hard for anybody not to notice that you've entered. But no response is elicited from this figure.
I'm just going to charge him, and I'm going to do a brawl. I'm going to try and wrap my arms around him.
As fighting brawl, then, please.
Scruff does that. I'm not going to charge, but I will withdraw my pistol, not aim it and shoot, just have it out, and shout something like, "You! Stop that green glowing right away!"
That's a 30 under 37, so that's a success.
You barrel into this figure, your arms wrap around, and you can see that it is that figure who was sitting reading from his book. He was crouched over a strange crate. The glow almost seems to be coming from inside. It's a slow pulsing, but he's not even resisting. You grab him, and as you do, you can see that he's trying to get something out of your way. He's trying to bury something into his coat.
Oh, I'm going to try and take it from him.
Excellent. I think I'll need another contested strength roll here, please. So,
oh, I'm pretty strong.
Is this the thing from the crate?
This is something else. That whatever's in the crate is still in.
I'll run over to the crate with Herbert, then kind of drag them over and go, "Come on, come on!"
So that's I've got a hard success, a 17 over 60.
It's only a regular success for him, so you've managed to wrench this out, and you managed to pull that book away from his hands. His eyes are pleading, and as you look at them, they get darker and darker and darker, and as you hold the book away from him, his eyes seem to congeal over, as if blood is pooling in them, and with an audible pop, his eyes burst. He falls down dead on the floor. Can I have a sanity roll, please?
I'm guessing we all see slash hear this.
Everybody who sees this, please.
Yeah.
It's a 37 over 45, so I succeed. I've seen weirder shit than this.
Okay, yeah, mine's an 82. That's a fail.
Mine's 30 over 31.
Success. Everybody who succeeds take 1 point of sanity. Everybody who failed takes 1d4. You hear a commotion from the other end of the carriage, and in storms a man in a blue uniform and a peaked cap. You recognize him as the conductor, the head steward of the train, Mr. Joseph Brearley, and he stalks up to you.
What are you doing? Restricted area, not allowed in here. Not for passengers, this is for the staff. What are you doing in here?
His eyes popped out.
His eyes popped up, and he looks down at the car. I say, I'm afraid this is... The man dead?
I'll try and take his pulse. It's not my strong point, but I am a doctor.
Can I have a medicine roll, please?
It is 88 over 25. That is a fail.
The man is dead. Other than that, it's not much more you can tell with your extensive medical training, of course.
So extensive.
Not sure how dead. Have you seen him before, really? Have you seen this? Imagine him with eyes. Have you seen him before on this train?
Well, yes, this is one of the passengers. Name is Dennis Dacre. He's sort of academic from Miskatonic University, I believe.
Oh, good reputation, I believe, university.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to get a job there, actually. It was my hopes and dreams to one day become a lecturer at the university.
Well, it looks like a vacancy may have opened up.
Goodness, don't be so hard. Heartless.
If he's here, then I kind of like I grab at the book and I tear it open and I start trying to read through it and understand what on earth's going on with this book.
It's written in some sort of code, but with a suitable success, you may very well be able to understand what it is. An intelligence roll, I think, would be needed.
Well, that's easy because my intelligence is 90, and That's a 35, so that's a hard success.
I think with a hard success, you could probably make out something. It seems to be some sort of poetry. I will share with you handout number one.
Ya-ix-ti-ritha yog-sothoth yog-sothoth. And it's just... It's just that, like, five or six times. Hey, Xaf.
Oh, say it again. Say it again, Scruff. I think there's... we're picking up some words there.
Xaf.
Yeah?
Hey, Xaf, so half. Yog, so thoth. Yog, so thoth. Hey, Xaf, you thoth. Yog, so thoth. Yog, so thoth. Hey, Xaf, you thoth. Yog, so thoth. Yog, so thoth.
And the walls begin to tear. Not the walls of the train, but of the false and hollow reality itself. This train hurtling through time and space, through the rainbow teeth that is Yog-Sothoth, and the green glow from the crate erupts as the entire baggage compartment is consumed by this everlasting fire. Spheres of bright light enter into the carriage, and you are thrown against the walls as the tentacled nightmare form of Yog-Sothoth enters into the compartment. Can I have sanity rolls from everybody, please?
Okay.
57
out of 30. That can be a fail.
It's a fail.
That's a fumble.
For seeing Yog-Sothoth, please roll 1d100.
That's 82.
So what happens if you roll 98?
I think you're all permanently insane now, but I think to give you a bit of fun, can I have a bout of madness, please? Can I everybody roll a 1d10? See what happens.
4, 9.
So as your minds slip away like sand running through fingers, you, Archibald Scruff Bruce, you archaeologist, you have discovered something new. You walk straight into one of the glowing spheres of Yog-Sothoth, and you find yourself destroyed immediately, disintegrated, spread across the cosmos as your essence runs through the rainbow gate that the silver key fits, and you are one with Yog-Sothoth. Herb Oslin, you are terrified by this sight. You try to run. You try to flee from this. Whatever it is, the carriage compartment has been blown apart. You can see that the engine itself is now on fire. The sky above you, there are too many stars. You fall out. It just so happens that the train itself is passing over a viaduct, and you fall. You land in the water, and you feel yourself drifted away with the currents. But throughout this, you do not stop screaming until your voice box bleeds. Captain Whitlock, you understand. You understand everything. You know what this is. You know who this is. You know your place in the universe is untenable. You know that you are naught compared to these gods. These gods who you now willingly serve. You flee. Not out of fear, but out of renewed purpose. You know that you are chosen. You have been touched by the outer gods. You know that you are the new prophet of Yog-Sothoth. You know that you will board the Orient Express. You know you will board that train with a purpose, to spread this madness across the world. And your mind, like sand slipping through someone's fingers, dissolves.
Yeah, Yoksa 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 y Yoxo fok 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 yoxo f Zion, Your mouse, your fuck your Yeah.